Well, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was the first full live-action film made completely at the studio and on location as well. But it was the first real homegrown feature. So Dear to My Heart was made mostly on location. Song of the South had location work as well. Here was a film that had to be done at the studio by the studio. And he decided to pull out all the stops. It was done in CinemaScope, which was still new and exciting to audiences then, and in Technicolor. And he hired A-list movie stars to be in it. Kirk Douglas, James Mason, Peter Lorre, Paul Lucas. These were all prominent names. And so this announced to the world and also to the Hollywood industry that Walt Disney was now really in the business of making live-action movies, and it was not he was no longer a dilettante. This was the real thing.
More than just another picture, it's was sort of a adventure type of picture with very unusual things in it that would be very hard to stage and put. Very, very expensive. That was a very expensive picture. The underwater, that'll always be good. It's period, and it was rather prophetic, you know, because we do have all of the things that we have, this Nautilus submarine now and things, and they are going all over the bottom of the ocean today, you know, practically what Nemo suggested. Nemo suggested they carried their own air in tanks, and that's what they're doing today. They're walking all over the ocean bottom or swimming, or they swim now, you see. They're skin divers. That's what Nemo had suggested, that they had a supply of oxygen they carried around with them. I mean, he suggested that he had a source of power. The Nautilus could travel forever with this source of power.
Jules Verne once said, "What one man can imagine, other men can do." And in his book, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Mr. Verne himself imagined some pretty weird and wonderful things. However, when we decided to make a picture out of this classic story, we soon discovered that though Mr. Verne was undoubtedly right, the imagining was much easier to do than the doing. Now, how we solve the many problems of getting this book of fancy fiction on film is a story we bring you on this program. We call it Operation Undersea. And now to tell about it, here's our narrator, Winston Hibler.
This is a model of the Nautilus, Jules Verne's fantastic submarine. Building one of these, full scale, was problem number one. And here's the Jules Verne diving suit. It carried its own air supply, and this was problem number two. When we tried to duplicate these suits, we found that here in the 20th century, they hadn't been invented yet, at least not a practical version. The special diving suits used by the Jules Verne men are designed around an aqualung. They're completely self-contained. The twin tanks of compressed air permit a man to remain below the surface up to 2 hours. But the first rule here is safety, and so shooting schedules are strictly limited to no more than 55 minutes. The suits offer the maximum efficiency and as much comfort as possible. Still, after the long session at the bottom of the sea, the divers are glad to draw a normal breath again in the world of fresh air and sunshine. When all the actors are accounted for, the cameras are the next most valuable items to be brought aboard. They must, of course, be inspected and reloaded with film at regular intervals. This is the Mitchell camera in its special housing. Like the diving suits, it's completely self-contained. It has its own power supply to operate the movement and its own aqualung. It's one of the first cameras ever to breathe, automatically compensating for the changing pressures of the various depths. Although the camera barge is the center of operations, it's only one of six ships needed to carry out this expedition. These historic waters have seen fleets and flags of all nations, but they've never before seen anything like this one. For director Richard Fleischer, seen here on the right, lunch is the item of least importance in his busy noon hour.
Uh, In the making of this picture, Walt as a producer was the ideal producer that any director could wish to have, because he didn't cut any corners at all. He wanted the best picture that could be made. And he never said no to anything. And he was very much involved in the making of the film, or in the pre-production of the film. And he gave me carte blanche, and I was I wanted for nothing. And he was accessible at all at any time, and spent the money that needed to be spent. And it was really like a wonderful dream situation for me.
When the fight with the giant squid just wasn't working, and the special effects squid was kind of tacky looking, and it just didn't come off the way it should have. Richard Fleischer, the director, and his collaborators came up with an idea to sort of obscure the action a bit by having it take place at night and in a rainstorm. Walt said, absolutely, that's the way to go. Do it. He didn't say, do you know how much this is going to cost me? I mean, that was not his, that was never his answer. That was never his answer. If it was to make the movie better, then he was all for it.